Good morning again. My message today is entitled The Kingdom of Jesus. As we begin that, let's begin with a story. This is a condensed and summarized version of the Tales of the Kingdom trilogy of books by David and Karen Maines, and it was published back in 1996. Long ago, there was a city of shadows, ruled by a cruel enchanter. He built towers of steel and filled the streets with fear. He told the people, "There is no king but me." And so many lived as slaves, never daring to hope for more. But whispers spread, whispers of another land, whispers of the true king. Some laughed at such tales, but others listened, for deep inside, in the place the enchanter could not touch, a spark of longing remained. One night, a light was seen on the hillside outside of the city gates. Not a small flickering light, but a strong, steady light that seemed alive with joy. It called to the weary and the broken, "Come, the king has not forgotten you." And so the brave left the city gates. Some stumbled, some crawled, some ran with tears on their faces. And as they came to the light, they found not fear, but freedom. Not chains, but song. One day, a young boy named Hero flees the enchanted city, pursued by the enchanter's men. He escapes into the forest where he meets the ranger, who protects him. Hero has many adventures and learns many lessons about the true kingdom. In the city, children are treated as property. Hero had once been enslaved under the orphan keeper, but now he begins to see himself as chosen, not forgotten. The city looks glorious, but it is built on deception. Citizens believe they are free, but that's only an illusion. Hero learns under the guidance of wise mentors in Great Park. He is trained in courage and truth. One day, Hero meets a baker who is obsessed with feeding only himself and his family. But then the baker learns the joy of baking for others and sharing freely. Hero also meets a young girl who, in the city, is shamed and mocked for being unclean. The girl finds that the king calls her by her true name and restores her dignity. The enchanter distracts citizens with endless noise, games, and pleasures, yet seekers of the true kingdom see the emptiness behind it all. A destructive blaze breaks out in the city, but the true king's followers protect one another and rebuild. The ranger, who is a fierce protector of the kingdom, continues to deliver the weak from the enchanter's reach. His role is to guard the borderlands and point to the king. At last, those who escaped the enchanter's city gather in the great park. The king welcomes them to his feast. The king himself walked among them, healing the broken, lifting the outcast, and calling them his children. "My kingdom is for all who will come," he said. And the people rejoiced. But the enchanter was not done. He roared with rage and struck harder. His soldiers hunted those who carried the king's light in their hearts. The enchanter warned the seekers of the true king, "Hide your light," he whispered. And some did. Their light grew dim. But others held fast. A girl carried her flame out into the marketplace. A boy kept his light glowing in the prison halls. An old man lit the way for children in the night. Wherever they went, the true king's light spread, small, steady, stubborn. The enchanter could not put it out, for though the kingdom was hidden, it was alive, and those who bore the king's light resisted, waiting, always waiting for the king to come again. Then one day, the waiting ended and the king returned. The enchanter fled, for his power was broken. The chains of the city shattered. Tears turned to laughter, sorrow turned to dancing, and the streets rang with joy. The king made all things new. He wiped every tear, healed every wound, and filled the whole land with his everlasting light. The people gathered before him, their faces shining. And the king said, "The shadows are gone. The night is ended. My kingdom has come forever." And from that day, no one feared the darkness again. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of Jesus is much more than a story or allegory. It is the reality of the world we live in and the lives we lead as followers of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom, for this is why I was sent." Jesus began his ministry by announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is the good news, and Jesus proclaimed the good news. He is the good news incarnate. But what is this good news, and who is this good news for? The kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, all of these phrases refer to the same thing. The term kingdom is an unfortunate one in today's world. It's seriously questioned by many because of its overtones of monarchy, its political connotations, and its associations with patriarchal structures. In some ways, it's better to use phrases like the reign of God or the realm of God. But for our purposes in this message, let us consider the kingdom of Jesus to mean the realm where God is sovereign and Jesus Christ rules forever. The kingdom is not a physical place, but a spiritual reality that is accessible to all who believe in Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Jesus is the presence of Jesus in our midst. It's the message of the good news. It's the message of love, unconditional love to everyone. The phrase, the kingdom of Jesus, represents everything that Christ embodies. It is the good news. It is the hope for the future. It is the ability to live in the present with love, unconditional love for those around us. The good news of the kingdom of Jesus is that all humankind, all people, all creatures are redeemed, are made new, are sanctified or made holy through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, through the presence of Jesus in our world, and by his death and resurrection. Let's step back a minute into the Gospel of Luke and consider how Jesus introduces himself to those in the synagogue and how the kingdom of Jesus is embodied in today's passage. In Luke chapter 4, we are given a front row seat to Jesus' own declaration of who he is and what his ministry is all about. Jesus went to Nazareth. Now, this might sound familiar because it was read in the Old Testament reading today. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue, as he normally did, and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Why was Jesus sent? To preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Let that sink in for a moment. We could stop there. As far as I'm concerned, we could stop there when talking about what the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is all about. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. Good news. You are loved. You are enough. I am with you. I love you. To liberate the oppressed and to set the prisoners free, Jesus is speaking about all prisoners, all who are oppressed, all who need to be set free, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, or all of the above. And let us not forget recovery of sight to the blind, healing to those who need healing, wholeness, recovery of spiritual sight, and softening of hard hearts. Jesus himself described his ministry as being good news to everyone. This is the good news of the kingdom. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus not only tells us what he's going to do, but he shows us. In today's passage from Luke 13, 10 through 29, Jesus is in the synagogue. A woman was there who had been disabled for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, of course, was very upset with Jesus as he did this and challenged him for doing the work of healing on the Sabbath. He said, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." Jesus responded, calling the synagogue leader a hypocrite, because even the synagogue leader would untie his ox or donkey to get a drink of water on the Sabbath. So why wouldn't the Son of God heal the sick on the Sabbath? In the Gospel of Luke, immediately after this healing, Jesus asks, "What is God's kingdom like? To what can I compare it?" Seems to me that Luke placed that question about the kingdom of God immediately following the narrative of Jesus healing the woman to help the readers, the hearers, and the listeners realize that the kingdom of God is just like that. The kingdom of God is like Jesus healing the crippled woman. N.T. Wright, noted theologian and Testament scholar, New Testament scholar, writes this about this passage. "The kingdom is like a tiny seed producing a huge tree, which can then accommodate all the birds in the sky. One action in one synagogue on one Sabbath. What can this achieve? But when Jesus sows the seed of the kingdom, nobody knows what will result. Or the kingdom as a small helping of leaven or yeast, hidden apparently in the flour. It seems insignificant and ineffectual, but before long the whole mixture is leavened. One healing of one woman. But every time you break the satanic chains that have tied people up, another victory is won, which will go on having repercussions. This is what the kingdom of Jesus is like." The presence of the kingdom. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus uses clear and unmistakable words to describe the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has arrived. Believe the good news. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. This very day the scripture has been fulfilled while you have been listening to it. Now, the idea of an eternal kingdom of God was part of the Hebrews' understanding of God. But the radical difference in Jesus' message is that the kingdom of God is now present. It is in our midst. It is drawing near. Jesus is announcing that God is doing something right here and right now. Jesus describes this radical shift when he speaks of John the Baptist's message in comparison with his own. He says, "Until John, there was only the law and the prophets. Since then, the good news of God's kingdom is preached, and everyone is urged to enter it." And that's in Luke 16, verse 16. John represented the end of one era before the kingdom, and Jesus the beginning of another, the era of the kingdom, the year of the Lord's favor. In Luke 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "Heal the sick who are there and say to them, God's kingdom has come upon you." In Luke 17, 20 through 21, the Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom was coming. He replied, "God's kingdom isn't coming with signs that are easily noticed, nor will people say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' Don't you see? God's kingdom is already among you." The kingdom of God is present here and now, and it is a kingdom of grace. Jesus is the incarnated presence of this kingdom of grace. The kingdom cannot be earned or conquered, cannot be secured or ensured by anything we do, but it has to be received as a gift. To experience the kingdom is to experience forgiveness. To enter into the kingdom is to enter into life, full life, abundant life, eternal life, here and hereafter, now and forever. As we heard in the tales of the kingdom was present in all those who kept the king's light in their hearts. Let's go back to that story for a minute. But the enchanter was not done. He roared with rage and struck harder. His soldiers hunted those who carried the king's light in their hearts. The enchanter warned the seekers of the true king, "Hide your light." And some did. Their light grew dim. But others held fast. Wherever they went, the true king's light spread, small, steady, stubborn. The enchanter could not put it out. For though the kingdom was hidden, it was alive. And those who bore the king's light resisted, waiting, always waiting for the king to come again. The presence of the kingdom of Jesus is in you, it's in me, it's in all the followers of the king. The already and not yet of the kingdom. In Mortimer Arius's book, announcing the reign of God, he says, "There's an unbearable tension in Jesus' proclamation of the kingdom. The kingdom has come and will come. The time is fulfilled, but we await the consummation. The kingdom is experience, but it is also hope. It is present and imminent. It is already and not yet." As 21st century Americans, we're not very satisfied with both and situations. We prefer either or, right or wrong. We want facts, certitude, a very concrete formula, A plus B equals C. As people of faith, we turn to scriptures for answers. But also, as people of faith, we need to learn to live within the tension of faith and formula, exact answers and mystery, our finite cognition and God's omniscience. Since the kingdom of God is within us, and since it is here and now, but also not yet, We, as followers of Jesus, living in the awareness of his kingdom, have a mission. The reality of the kingdom of God being within us implies that God's rule and reign should be reflected in one's actions and behaviors. Followers of Jesus live an ethical life guided by God's teachings and principles. This means treating others with kindness, love, and respect, and avoiding actions that harm others or ourselves. The kingdom of God being within us also implies a sense of community and interconnectedness. Followers of Jesus work towards building a community that reflects God's love and teachings. This means creating a space where people can come together to support and uplift one another. Community building involves creating an environment where everyone feels welcome and valued. It also means working towards the common good and addressing social issues that affect the community. By building a strong and supportive community, followers of Jesus can reflect the kingdom of God within themselves and in the world around them. Another way to connect with the kingdom of God within us is to engage in compassionate actions. This involves acts of kindness, generosity, and service to others. By doing so, followers of Jesus can express the love and compassion that is inherent in the kingdom of God and make a positive impact in the world. Do you want to serve the coming king in his kingdom? There's only one way, right here in history, and right now with your neighbor in need. As it says in Matthew 25, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For if you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the end of our New Testament reading today, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let's continue to express our gratitude. With this gratitude, let's serve in a way that is pleasing to God with respect and awe. I have a song I'd like to sing for you today. It's entitled, The Kingdom of Jesus. Jesus. Let us continue our worship as we take up this morning's offering for the ministry of giving. With those who are serving, please come forward.